Hello, this is Paula Matthews for Epic Books and Cafe, and today's podcast is a continuation from our last episode where the Lord was talking about how our idols were going to be falling in America. There is calamity coming upon the leaders of our nation, both in the church and in government and business. This has been a difficult message to receive from God because of the severity of what he has to say. This thing has been bubbling in my spirit for days, and it has to be released. But in the meantime, the Lord has had me spending much time in the Word of God, doing research on this story, and he was enlightening my understanding as to what is really going on in our day. Now, I'll begin by reading the initial part of the prophecy the Lord gave me concerning this matter. The prophecy in its entirety can be viewed on our website, www.letstalkprophecy.com. But for now, I'll read the first part of the prophecy in the way that the Lord gave it to me. It's a smokescreen, says God. They are doomed to fail. They were doomed from the beginning of their plot against his nation. That virus was bought and paid for by wicked men around the world who wanted to destroy the freedom of the peoples of the nations. It will not work, says God, for I am coming down myself to settle the score. You wicked rich men have crossed me and my plan for the last time. The politicians you bought and paid for in America and in the nations of this world will fall like Dagon. Again, this is just a portion of the prophecy that the Lord gave me. And I wanted to focus in on where he drew my attention to for this podcast, and that was on Dagon, when the Lord said the politicians that were bought and paid for in America and in the nations of this world will fall like Dagon. And we want to answer the question, who is Dagon and why did he fall? Dagon was a false god of the Philistines. Now, the Philistines could be called the arch enemies of God's people. The story we want to focus on comes from 1 Samuel chapters 4 and 5. But I want to begin in chapter 5, where we find Israel going up against a battle with the Philistines and God's people are defeated. They decided to go and get the Ark of the Covenant and bring it to the camp in hopes that having the presence of God with them would help them defeat the Philistines. So they go get the Ark of the Covenant and bring it to the camp, but it didn't work. The armies of Israel were defeated once again by the Philistines. To make matters worse, the Philistines stole the Ark of the Covenant and put it in the temple of their idol, Dagon. They placed the Ark of the Lord next to Dagon. Now, that is a big part of this message all by itself. How often in America we see what David called uncircumcised Philistines who would dare take the holiness of God and defy it by making it common, by mishandling the holy, sacred things. How these people, not knowing the covenant of God, would take these things and make a mockery. That is the essence of the story of Dagon. The Philistines treated the Most High God as if he was just another wooden figure that men worship. They found out that he is the only true and living God who takes vengeance upon those who mix the profane with the holy. Now, some of you know how the story goes. When they arrived the next morning to worship their demon god Dagon, he had fallen on his face before the Ark of the Lord. Now, this was a time before Jesus, so it is interesting that we see a figure falling before a symbol of God's presence. As the word said, every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that he is the Lord God. And even the statue of a demon god fell on its face in reverence to the most holy God. Now, as the story goes, they pick up Dagon and put the idol back in its place, only to come the next morning and find that Dagon had fallen on his face again before the Ark of the Lord. But this time, his head was cut off and his hands were cut off upon the threshold of the temple. The only thing remaining was a stump of Dagon. The Bible says neither the priests of Dagon nor any that come unto Dagon's house treaded on the threshold until this day. This is how much fear came upon the people. But that was not the end of the story. The Bible describes how the hand of the Lord was heavy upon the people of that city and he destroyed them. And he smote them with hemorrhoids. And the people said, the Ark of the God of Israel shall not abide with us, for his hands are sore upon us and upon Dagon our God. And that is the message. The presence of God cannot abide with unholy, uncircumcised, filthy people, or his hand comes upon us heavily and upon their demon gods. So these people sent the Ark of God to Gath. And the same thing happened there. The hand of God was against that city, and he brought destruction and smote the men of the city, both small and great, with hemorrhoids in their secret parts. And then they moved into another city, and the same thing happened. Now, people, this is not a mystery, but it shows that when you touch the holy things of God and try to make it common, there will be repercussions from the Spirit of God. So people, let's go back and ask, why did Dagon fall? Was it just because they stole the Ark of the Covenant? No. It's because God's holiness is more powerful than a demon god. This was just not an ark. It was not just a box. It was a container that was created to hold the presence of God. So when the Israelites went from place to place, God would be with them. And he showed his power. You know, they had a cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. And the Lord remained with them. And that was what caused the fear in the hearts of many people. So when the Philistines saw that the ark wasn't doing it for the Israelites anymore, they just assumed, oh, this God won the war for the Philistines. So let's take him and put him in our camp. Let's put him in our temple. And essentially, they didn't see the effectiveness of the God of Israel with the ark. And they assumed that it was for them. But that was not the case. The reason that it didn't work for Israel is that Israel had sinned before God. This is a big message for the Church of Jesus Christ. You cannot mix the holy and the profane. You can't mix with these wicked politicians or the wicked business. And you can't make deals for the sake of lining your pockets with money or getting a position and expect the holiness of God to remain there. There is no power there. God is not with you. And those people that are in bed with you, that are compromising with you, the same thing that happens to you is going to happen to them. They will be destroyed. And that's the message when God said, they shall fall like Dagon. He was talking about church leaders and business and government leaders. This is a message that people need to hear. When God said this, it shook me because he woke me in the middle of the night speaking about this. And here's another prophecy that I hear the Lord saying. An election was stolen. One in which I had already ordained and anointed a leader. But the outcome was shrouded in lies so that another could rule over my nation, America. Another idol over the land, my covenant land that is the apple of my eye. Did you ever stop to think why I let your feeble plot continue? Did you think that I was like the gods you serve, who have no eyes and cannot see, who have not ears and cannot hear? Who have no hands and cannot perform a work or a miracle? You should have known that I would have the final say, but you did not want to believe that I, Almighty God, was real. Oh, you've seen religion. Oh, you've seen the pious acts of hypocrites who have never known me. But what say ye about my word that tells you exactly who I am and what I can do and will do? What about my servants, the prophets, that have spoken and demonstrated my power over you and your gods? You plotted against them. You even attempted to take their precious lives, lives that my son Jesus Christ died to save. Like Dagon, you shall fall, you and your house and all that follow you, so that the world will see your demise and know that I, the Lord, am God over America and over all the earth. Ooh, Jesus, thank you, Lord. This message about people falling like Dagon, people falling like Dagon, it's about mixing the holy with the profane. The enemy has taken what God has deemed holy and took it for themselves. Now calamity is coming. Instead of repenting, they have invented more lies and deceptions. That was what the last message was about. It will not work. God said it is doomed. They're all doomed. I mean, even hearing Mrs. Harris's wicked attempt to use the Bible to justify a vaccine will cost her dearly. Anyone with discernment could tell this woman knows nothing about God, his word, and yet she was bold enough to touch the sacred word of God and use it in a lie, and then think nothing about the ramification of her actions. This is how much she thinks of our God, the living God, the true and living God, in whom this nation is under covenant through the blood of Jesus. This is a serious offense against God. This woman was playing with the holy word of God. She has no idea that God and his word are the same. Jesus is called the word of God. Mrs. Harris attempted to use God to justify a vaccine that God by his spirit says does not exist. They have no vaccine against this virus. And the virus, he said, was declared dead by God. So this woman attempted to speak for God, not knowing God, all to maintain a lie, as God called a lie. So this is interesting because she had no fear that she could be struck dead in the eyes of the public. In the eyes of the world, this woman could have been struck dead. She had no fear. But it happened to King Herod in Acts chapter 12. He was making a great speech before the people who shouted, "The voice of a God, not a man." And the Bible says that immediately an angel of the Lord struck him dead because he did not give God the glory. That is exactly what Mrs. Harris attempted to do. She shoved God in the back seat and determined to use him to get what she wanted from the American people. Thank God, many people dismissed her as foolish. But others were listening to her as if she was a God, as if what she was saying was true. Really? People of God? Really? Those who know Jesus Christ? Think about it. What would Jesus say about taking a vaccine if he were walking the earth today? Think about what you know in the Word of God. Think about it, people. He even said in Matthew 24, don't be deceived and don't have fear of the wars, rumors of wars, or the earthquakes, famines, and pestilences, viruses. He said, don't be deceived and don't fear them. Why? Because these things are just the beginning of what's happening to the world before he comes back and rules and reigns. But the gospel of the kingdom shall be preached. Jesus was saying, no matter what the world is going through, I am the Lord that healeth thee. Be still and know that I am God. Jesus went around healing, doing good and healing all who are oppressed by the devil. Do you think he'd be scared of a virus? Do you think he would send his people to get a vaccine? No. No, he would never do that. But what he wants his people to do today is, and there's no condemnation if you've taken a vaccine, talk to God about it. There's no condemnation if you did it, if you felt like you were forced to do it, because that's what she was using the Bible for, to force people to do something that God is not ordaining. Now, it would be different if this woman had been a champion of virtue that God stands up for. But no, she and her party tout the most abominable things that God says that he would destroy man for. So in one way she stands up for the wickedness, and next time she's going to use God to stand up and try to justify more wickedness. No, people of God, no. What would Jesus do? And for her to say, if you love somebody, you would do that? No. She doesn't understand the gospel. She doesn't understand Jesus Christ. If you love somebody, you will lay down your life, meaning you will die, sacrifice yourself for another person. That's what it means. You will give up your life like Jesus. He wasn't worried about death. He wasn't worried about sickness. He wasn't worried about disease. He had a message to deliver. He had a mission to accomplish, as do all of those of us who are in the body of Christ. We have work to do. This thing, as God said, is a deception. It's a smokescreen. It's something to keep you away from your divine purpose. That's all it is. And they know it. They have nothing else to stand on. And what the thing about Dagon and why they chose to put the Ark of the Covenant next to God, the Philistines didn't know that it wasn't about the box. It wasn't about a God figurine. It was about a relationship, a one-on-one relationship with the true and living God. And that's what it is today. It's not so much the words in the Bible, even though they represent God, is do you know him? You can't speak his word if you don't know him, because it's not going to mean anything but judgment. But when you know him and he empowers you by his Holy Spirit to speak, now you can speak his word. But how dare you, with filthy mouth, filthy intents, speak the holy word of God and not realize that you've set this whole thing for destruction upon you and your family. People need to pray for her and the other leaders who've taken God so casually. And we understand why. Just like in the book, what happened with the Philistines, they saw, well, nothing happened with the Israelites. God didn't do nothing for them. He must be a weak God. That's not what happened. The people were in sin. Why? Their leaders, go back to 1 Samuel chapter 4. Eli, the priest, he was a preacher over God's house. His sons were doing abominable things in the house of God. And God had warned Eli to chastise his sons, to set them straight for the sake of the people. Did he do it? No. He continued to take the filthy money and allow them to do filthy things inside the church. That's why when they took the ark, it had no power. The glory of the Lord had left that place. It had left the people of God because of the sinfulness of the leaders. And as the story ends, not only after these people, the Philistines were destroyed, chapter 5 goes back to Eli. His sons were killed. Not only that, Eli heard of the news, fell off his chair, and he died. Then his daughter-in-law, my God, I'm hearing this in my spirit. His daughter-in-law was pregnant. She gave birth to a child that died. And Ichabod was written above that temple. The glory of the Lord had left. And the Lord says, that's where we are in this season. Many of you preachers who are spending time trying to get the favor of politicians, trying to get your name known, trying to get money, whatever you're doing, God says, repent, because this thing is coming down your bloodline. Whatever God does to you is going down your bloodline. And those politicians and businessmen that you're in bed with, the same thing's going to happen. God is not going to spare anyone unless you repent. This is serious. He is a holy God. And it's interesting because the Lord brought to me a prophecy that I remember from 1984, I think it was, that Kenneth Copeland got, that talked about where we are today. And it's a scary prophecy because he talked about having politicians and people dropping dead in public places because of the treatment of God's people and God's word. And that's where that's where he is right now. He says, as my people rise up and preach the gospel and heal the sick and raise the dead. Does that sound like a vaccine to you? No. Our job is to be laying hands on people, healing the sick and raising the dead. That's the gospel of the kingdom. He says, and I'll do wonders, signs and wonders. I'll bring a second chapter of Acts alive in your life. And where you go, there will be fire. There'll be vapor of smoke. There'll be signs in the heavens and above and in the earth beneath. And there will be people that will point a finger to you and point a finger of scorn before they have the opportunity to lay their lips upon their lips behind their finger of scorn. I'll strike it down. There are pastors and leaders of nations who will learn very soon that is not the thing to do, to speak words of scorn, words of degradation, or words of hurt and ill towards my people. I have put up with that, says God, as long as I'm going to put up with it. These are the days of my vengeance, said the Lord. Men and women will fall in publics in the pulpits of nations. Men will fall in political houses of governments, trying to make decisions to keep my ministries and my people out, being hurt and putting hurt and ill on my people. And even as they pass their demonic laws, they'll fall in their tracks. Some of them paralyzed, some of them only momentarily, some of them dead. Some of them without their minds intact for a time to come as Nebuchadnezzar of old. I've been warning them for years. I've taken the time to tell them. I've sent them my children and they killed them. I sent them my prophets and they've stoned them. I've sent my son and they killed him. The day and the hour is coming and I'll remove their candlesticks from its place. There are some churches in the land that I'll remove the candlestick and they will never function again. For the time of the end is at hand. I'm the Lord God blessed, and those whose God is the Lord. And blessed are those whose God is the Lord, for it is his hour of vengeance, and he will take pleasure in prospering of his servants. So people of God, this is where we are today. This is what we're about to see. You better pray for your people that are in authority, because some of them, like Ms. Harris, will end up dropping dead publicly. And we hope she repents. I have nothing against a woman, but when I see an act, a flagrant violation of God's word by a black woman, knowing goodness well that God kept these people safe and secure and guided us out of slavery. Black people have been a cornerstone of the church, cornerstone of belief. The slaves saw miracle after miracle and had this person mocked, the very God that kept our people. It's an insult. As a black woman to another black woman, it's an insult. And people, you better be praying for these people. Don't be moved by their skin color. Don't be moved that they're black, because these people's hearts are blacker than their skin. You better pray that they get God. You better pray that they get delivered. Now, this is a message God gave me to deliver. And for those who are compliant with the kingdom orders, keep on working. Keep moving forward, for this is your day. Hallelujah. your hour, your moment of deliverance from the works of the evil one. So suit up, as God says. Get ready for turbulence. You're about to skyrocket to the top. It's promotion time. God is putting many leaders down. We're talking government, business, church leaders, only to raise you up in this season. God is with you. Go forth in his name and his power. In Jesus' name. And people, we serve a mighty God. I don't care what it looks like. As he said, it's a smokescreen because they know they are doomed. Read the entire word over on letstalkprophecy.com and you'll read what God is saying. He says they are doomed. They were doomed from the very beginning. When God has anointed something and God has said in his word, touch not my anointed, do my prophets no harm. And what God has anointed as his covenant nation and someone touches, they will have to pay the price. And that's what we're going to see in this day. So we pray for those in authority. We pray that people repent. We pray that the God visits each of them to turn them from their wicked ways before it's too late. This has been Paula Matthews for Epic Books and Cafe. Until next time.